Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome to another episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. Today, there will be some discussion of mature themes. We recommend that you listen to this episode away from little listening ears. We have a very special guest today, Sandra Raines. Sandra has been my wonderful friend for many, many years. She is a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a Sunday school teacher. Her life impacts many people for the Lord. She's retired and married to her husband, Stan. They've been married for 3 years. And let me tell you, she has a wonderful husband who pampers her and cooks for her. And I'm just so thankful that she's found this wonderful love with this wonderful man in her life. Today, we want to hear her story. Sandra's story is amazing, and it's going to inspire and help a lot of people. Welcome, Sandra. We're so glad to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Sandra, we'd love to hear about you. We'd love for you to share. Start wherever you want to. We want to hear about how you found grace, God's grace, in your wilderness through your life. So would you like to start at the beginning?
Okay. When I was a small child, we lived close to my grandparents, and I stayed with them while my mom and dad worked. And my earliest memories were of being molested while I was there, sexually molested. And I was not even in school yet, so I had to be younger than 5, so I was real young at that point. And I knew it was something bad, but I didn't want to share it with anybody. And I don't know how I even knew that. Maybe he told me not to share it. I'm not sure. But I just remember that happening several times when I was staying there. And that's my earliest memories at my grandparents' house. And when I was in third grade, we moved to Walterboro, South Carolina. And my mom and dad fussed a lot while we were growing up. We wasn't brought up in a Christian home. And they just didn't really get along well. And so it really got, it really got to me, and I just got tired of hearing it. They took us to church sometimes. It wasn't an every Sunday thing. Sometimes we went to church and we got to hear preaching, but that was it. So when I was 15, I had met this guy that I thought, if we was to get married, I could do what I wanted to. I could get away from all this fussing and carrying on. So I asked my parents to sign for me to get married, and they did. I didn't love this man. I just wanted to get away from home. This marriage didn't work. It didn't last, no time. And when I was 17, I met this man that we lived together for a while, and I got pregnant. We partied all the time. We drank and smoked pot. I just didn't want to give that up to have a baby. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. And it was in the 70s, right after they brought that law into effect. And so I didn't really think about it being wrong. I just decided that I didn't want a baby, so.
You mean they brought the abortion law into effect, okay? Legalized abortion.
Yes, right. Yes. Okay. So I had an abortion, and only a couple people knew about this. I went for years without it even bothering me at all. The time that it started bothering me and I felt guilt and shame was after I started living for the Lord. And that was in 1989. And once I started living for the Lord, I realized what I'd done. It was shameful and it hurt. The Holy Spirit started working on me about it and how it was wrong. And I decided that I wanted to get help after I talked to my pastor. He told me about a Bible study at Hope Women's Center that they did that helped you to find forgiveness, and not only for that God forgive you, but to show you how you have to forgive yourself and to get through that shame and guilt. I went through that, and the first time I went through it, I just didn't engage in it like I should have because I knew it was such a secret. Nobody knew it, and I didn't want anybody to know it. Maybe a year later, I decided to go through it again. And the second time I went through it, I realized that I needed to tell my daughter, Summer. She was about 17 at that time, 16 or 17. And I told her this deep, dark secret. And I was just afraid she would hate me for it. But that's why I didn't ever tell her. But once I did tell her that, God started healing me, because I was able to talk about it more, knowing that I didn't have to worry about her finding out from someone else. After I had the abortion, about a year later, I ended up marrying the man that I had got pregnant by. I didn't love him either. I just think I felt like I needed love was my problem because I married him knowing that I didn't love him. But this marriage didn't last either. And after this marriage, I married the third time. I was about 20. And after a couple years, in 1983, I had a baby, Summer, my daughter. She's 42 now. But after I had her, we still partied and carried on. And I got a babysitter on the weekends, and that's what we did. We just partied. But after a while, my babysitter started telling me that she would babysit for me if I would come to church on Sunday. So finally, after she told me that so many times, after Summer, my daughter was 3 years old, I started going to church. I was still partying on the weekends. But in 1989, I realized that I needed to give my life to the Lord. And I started living for Him, because I wanted better for my daughter than what I was doing, and better than my life. But my husband, he didn't want to quit. And so he kept drinking and doing whatever he did, you know. But after a while, it was getting to me that Summer was older, and she was around her dad so much with him drunk and doing drugs. And so I talked to him about it, and We had long discussions about it. He finally went to rehab to get off of alcohol, and we started having a better life together. I remember, though, one time after I started teaching Sunday school, I got to this scripture, Ephesians 5:25, and it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." And as I read that scripture, I thought, wow, I wish my husband loved me like that. And it was just like the Holy Spirit said, love him like that. And so I did start doing extra things and showing him that I loved him. Because it took a while for me to love him, really. When I married him, I really didn't love him then. But God, after I got saved, God started working in my life. And I began to love him, and I began to show him, like the scripture said for men to do to their wives, you know. And I started loving him like that, and our lives started changing. We became happier. He started loving me like that after I started loving him like that. So we started to be happier and doing things together. And then after about 10 years, he got hurt on the job, and he was disabled. He was hurt so bad. And the doctors started giving him pain meds. He got addicted to these pain meds, and he was taking them more than he should. He was abusing the pain meds. After he started abusing the pain meds, it was really hard to live with him then. I talked to his doctors, I talked to him, I did all kind of things to try to get that stopped, but nothing I did seemed to work. And then after about 5 years, he started doing meth. And after he started doing meth, then I saw what it did to him. And it was just, my life was real chaotic at that time. He would see snakes in the living room and take guns to the door. And I was just really being afraid then. I got to where I was afraid to live there. So I left. And I moved into an apartment in 2014. I lived there for about 3 years. And then he died of an overdose of meth. And so I was glad I had left, because I wouldn't have wanted to be there during that time. And he almost died at home just laying on the couch. So I was glad, you know, that God prompted me that I didn't need to be there. But then after he passed away, I started dating Stan Raines, and he started going to church with me. And he says I got him back on the right track, because he wasn't going right then at that time when he met me. So we both were going to church together, and we got married in 2021. I received an expanded family then when I married him. I had more children, more grandchildren. Well, I didn't even have grandchildren until I married him. So I had a lot of grandchildren and expanded family. And my youngest grandchild was 4 years old when we married. And she was a flower girl in our wedding. And Stan has just been great. We do our devotions together. We read our Bible together. And we discuss it. And it's so wonderful how God worked through this. All I had to do was be saved and live for the Lord and do what I felt like that the Lord wanted me to do. I had this little miracle baby grandbaby now. She was four. Well, she was such a beautiful, and she still is. She's a beautiful little girl. We became real close. And when she comes over, she wants to do me up, fix my hair, put on makeup. She wants to talk. She says the other day, okay, what we're going to talk about? So she's just, you know, we just have a wonderful time together. And she wants me to read her Bible stories, and we do that. And she's just beautiful. But the one thing about this little miracle grandbaby, this is how God works. She was almost aborted. Her mother had decided that she was not going to have her, that she was going to abort her. But Stan's son and his wife went to this mother and asked her, would she please have the child, and they would adopt her. And so she's just a miracle. And, you know, God did this. He saved her life. And when I found this out, I said, that's just how God works. He gave me a baby granddaughter that could have been aborted. God's word says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I adorned you a prophet to the nations. God knew this little girl before she was born, and it was a miracle that her mother changed her mind and she got a chance to live. But I know as I went through the shame and guilt of having an abortion, it was very hard for me. The hardest part was forgiving myself. I knew that God forgave me because his words told me he did. But forgiving myself for this was very hard. But this Bible study, Forgiven and Set Free, it done a lot for me. It showed me that God did forgive me, and that my child will be in heaven when I go there one day. I'll get to see that baby. It is hard to forgive yourself, but God forgives us, and we don't have to bear that shame and that guilt anymore, because he went to the cross for us for that.
It reminds me of 1 John 1:9. As if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, all of our greatest efforts are as filthy rags to the Lord. None of us are any better than anybody else. And it's but by the grace of God that we don't go through things like Sandra has gone through a lot of trauma and a lot of trials in her life. The Bible in Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." None of us are worthy, but God just showers us with this amazing love as his children.
I just thank the Lord for all that he's done for me and how he's worked through my life and everything. He's just gave me little bits at a time that I needed to work on, because I guess he knew I couldn't do it all at one time. But lately, it's been about a year now, it was like the Holy Spirit was telling me to write my testimony and to write my testimony. And so I realized then that I had been given a testimony that was mostly my late husband's testimony. Instead of about me, I was given it about him. And so the Holy Spirit worked on me through that, and I started writing it. When I started to write it, it was like the Lord just told me to call Sharon. And I hadn't seen Sharon since she had left church, maybe once or twice. And I thought, why do I need to call Sharon, I wonder? And I thought maybe this was Satan trying to deter me from writing my testimony. So I thought, no, I'm going to sit here and write it. So I sat there and I worked on it. And then it wasn't long that I'd finished what I was writing then. And I said, well, I'm going to call Sharon now. And I called Sharon and I told her what was going on in my life. And she told me what was going on in hers.
My former business partner wrote a beautiful story, a fictional story, about a woman who had aborted her child and met this child in heaven. And as I have been researching for podcast topics, that story just kept popping up over the last few months. And finally, a few weeks ago, I said, okay, Lord, I know you want me to interview someone who's had an abortion, but I don't know anybody. And so I'm just going to turn that over to you and let you bring them to me. I left it in his hands. And I've known Sandra for years, but I didn't know that part of her story. And so my husband and I had to move out of our home recently. We're having floors redone because of a washer flood. So as I was packing one day, my phone rang and it was Sandra. And she tells me that she's been writing her testimony and that the Lord has told her numerous times to call me. And I said, that's wonderful. I'd love to hear your testimony, read it, get together with you, and let's see what God's doing and all that. And she asked me what I was up to, and I told her, and I asked her what she was up to. And she mentioned that she was going to be helping with a Bible study at Hope Women's Center. And it was going to be for women who had abortions and to help them with their healing. And I froze in that conversation and I felt the tears welling up. And I said, Sandra, have you had an abortion? And she said she had. And I knew right then that this was a divine appointment. But not until I met with her this morning did I realize that her story was so much more, that she's been through so many things that God's brought her through, that I know there are people that are listening to this need to know that no matter what you go through, God is there. This precious godly woman that sits beside me now sews into so many people. And here she's been given a second chance with this wonderful husband. And she is such a testimony. She's one of those people when you meet, you just know that Jesus lives in her. And I'm so thankful that she's my friend. My previous church that I was at, I left 5 years ago. And Sandra still remains at that church. And I'm now at East Pickens, and she was at Blue Ridge View, which is a church so close to my heart. But the last time I think I saw Sandra was when Bradley, my son, died 3.5 years ago. But we're always heart sisters. And it didn't take us but a second to catch up with all that time we'd missed. She's one of those people that I will always treasure as a precious friend. And God is working in ways that I can't even describe. And her sharing this story today is just incredible and just shows that He's a God of purpose and that He has a plan. And when He wants us to share, He'll bring us together and He'll guide us to do that if we'll just be faithful to Him. Sandra, as I had just mentioned, you're going to be helping Hope Women's Center with a Bible study coming up. And I wanted you to share more about how God brought you to that and the rest of that story.
The last time I gave my testimony was in a small group. It was just my testimony on abortion. And I was talking to the group about how I had had an abortion and I had a hard time believing that I was forgiven, and I couldn't forgive myself. And there was one that spoke up that she had had an abortion too, and that she would love to go in that Bible study herself. I wasn't sure that Hope Women's Center was still doing that, and I told her that I would call to see. And so when I did call Hope Women's Center, they said that they had not started one because they were looking for someone to help facilitate it. And I had already told them that it was about 20 years ago when I went through the first Bible study on Forgiven and Set Free that I had facilitated it before. And so they wanted to know if I would be willing to do that again. So that was a God appointment also.
That's our big, big God, y'all.
Yes, it is. So we are supposed to start that probably in a couple months, and it may be sooner. Anybody that needs help on forgiving themselves or about God forgiving them, this would be an awesome study to come to.
If you are interested in getting more information about that, please contact me at SharonHawkins.net and select the contact tab, and you can send me a message and I can connect you with Sandra about that and get you more information. So it'll be over the next couple of months. Sandra, this has been such a blessing for you to share. We have had church here today. I'm just amazed at our big, big God. And your story has come in a circle. God started you at a place of hardship, and He's brought you full circle where you can take the comfort that He has provided you. And now you are stepping out in faith for Him to comfort other people. And I wanted for us to end with the sharing of this scripture, because I think it fully describes what Sandra's doing in her life and what God is doing in her life. Would you like to share the scripture?
Sure. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
So I wanted to encourage all of you who have a story to tell. There's someone who needs to hear it. And I would just pray that God would work in your heart to give you the boldness. This took a lot of courage for Sandra. And I just thank God that He emboldened her to step out and share this today. And I pray that there will be many that will be touched by it. We thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Sandra, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And we're not going to wait 3.5 years to get together again, are we? Sandra is such a blessing to me, and I'm just so thankful today that you've joined us and shared your heart with us.
And before we go, here is the beautiful story by my former business partner, Vincent Guerra. I wanted to share this today. It's entitled Face to Face. Deborah asked her family to wheel her bed around so she could look out of the window one last time. She gazed up at the sun setting behind the Blue Ridge Mountains. reflecting on her life, which had started in these same hills, but now was coming to an end. Even now, her vision was weak, and she could feel her strength leaving. What surprised her the most was that her resolve had vanished. After all the rounds of chemo she had been through over the years, she had never lost her vigor to survive, yet now she had a peace that her time was imminent. After being a loving wife for 34 years, raising 3 sons and spoiling 7 grandchildren, she was finally ready to be at rest in the presence of her Creator. She could hear her family crying around her. They knew it wouldn't be long. Her eternity was secure, but her family would greatly miss her. Deborah, or Deb as her husband called her, was committed to her family. She was so involved in their lives and always looking to help them, always wanting to support them in any way she could. She loved her family, and her maternal strength was the glue that held them so close over the years. The lights in her hospice room were dimmed low. Deb was slipping in and out of consciousness. Every now and again, her eyes would slowly open to the surreal sight of her boys and husband standing around her bed mourning. She knew she would spend forever in heaven with them, but her heart ached at the thought of not knowing when that would be. With her last ounce of strength, Deb slowly reached for her husband's hand. Her final thought was how blessed they were and how thankful she was to have her husband who adored her. They had lived a full life together. Her eyes shut, her hand slid from her husband's, falling limp on the bed. And though she only lived to be 63 years old, Deb was grateful for her time on earth. Deb wasn't sure how long she had been standing there before she finally became aware of the scenery surrounding her. There was no long dark tunnel with a blinding light at the end of it. There were no flashbacks of her life in the natural. Deb was now standing in a lush green meadow interspersed with oak trees and wildflowers in full bloom. It reminded her of the spring days she had spent hiking the Appalachian Trail. She looked up and the sky was brilliant blue. As a few puffs of cloud slowly moved east to west in the slight breeze, taking a deep breath, she was filled with peace and the realization that she was entering into her rest. She felt compelled to move toward one of the trees at the crest of the hill in front of her. As she came closer, she could see it was a mesmerizing weeping willow in the midst of all the oaks, its animated branches hypnotically blowing in the breeze. She continued to meander towards the trees, not in a hurry, just taking it all in and enjoying the solitude of the moment. Deb was almost to the weeping willow when she noticed someone standing under the tree. The person's face was blocked by some of the low-hanging branches, but she could see a slender figure wearing a flowing and long white dress. Walking up to the tree, Deb looked at the lady, whose face was still obscured, and decided to introduce herself. "Hello there. This certainly is a spectacular field. Where am I exactly?" Deb knew exactly where she was, but how do you strike up a conversation in the afterlife? The lady turned towards Deb and stepped out from behind the branches. "You're in heaven," she replied, looking at Deb and smiling as if there was something else more important she really wanted to say. Deb stared at her. She knew this face. Why was it so familiar to her? Had they gone to high school or college together? The woman looked 20 years younger than Deb, and she was perfect in every way. She looked as if she had never been touched by the pain and suffering people endured during their lives on earth, but maybe everyone here looked that way. There was a glow about her, like all the years of living in a fallen body had been stripped away from her complexion. After a few moments of trying to figure out where she knew this lady from, it finally sank in. Deb had thought about this day for years and could feel her heart tightening inside her chest. Tears started welling up in her eyes, and now as she looked at this flawless creature, she could barely make out the words. "Please tell me, dear, how long have you been here?" All the lady in the white dress could do was cry, tears streaming down her cheeks. She, too, had waited entirely too long for this moment, and it had finally arrived. She couldn't contain the joy in her heart anymore. Letting her emotions go, she burst out laughing and threw her arms around Deb and held her tightly. At the age of 22, Deborah was living her dream. She had studied hard over her 4 years at Lynchburg College and graduated magna cum laude. With her political science degree in hand, she started working right away for her hometown congressman on Capitol Hill. This was going to be the first stop on her way to an Ivy League law school and then on to a brilliant career in politics. Deb had been working for her U.S. representative for only a few months and had already earned a reputation for her hard work and dependability. She quickly grew accustomed to the 14-hour workdays, including weekends, and could plow through mountains of proposed legislation faster than all the other aides. Her reputation on the Hill grew rapidly, especially among the other aides who became envious of her determined work ethic. She had mapped out her life in high school and was now executing her plan to perfection. One day, while poring over a new bill that was set to be voted on in Congress, Deb started having trouble focusing on her reading. This wasn't like her. After a few hours of struggling through 2 pages of legalese, a wave of nausea sent her sprinting to the bathroom. In the stall, on her knees, holding her hair back, she couldn't hold her breakfast in any longer. She hoped that it was just food poisoning, or maybe a virus, but in the back of her mind, she knew it was something else. The nausea was so severe that Deb had to stay home and use 2 sick days, which was unheard of for her. A bus could hit Deb on her way to work, and she would still drag herself into the office to work at least 10 hours. She had done her best to try and pretend her sickness was going to pass, but after 2 full days of vomiting, she finally faced reality and staggered around the corner from her apartment building to the local drugstore. Back in the privacy of her studio apartment, Deb stared in horror at the pink lines on the pregnancy test. This was not happening. She could feel her body lose what little energy she still had left after throwing up all morning. She wasn't that kind of girl. She didn't sleep around. How could this be? It was just one innocent tryst with a senator's aide after a fundraising event. She always stayed in control. This was one of the few times she had let her guard down, and she could feel her political career and her future slipping away. What would her boss say? What would her mother do? In a state of panic, Deb picked up the phone and called the clinic, thinking to herself, "Today is Friday. I can have this whole situation resolved by Monday and get back to work, and it'll be like nothing ever happened." She just couldn't afford the hassle of a baby in her life right now. It would devastate her mother, wreck her career, and money was already tight without the added expense of a child. When Monday morning came, Deb headed into the office as usual. Everyone was concerned, asking if she was back in good health. She assured them it was probably just a bug or the flu, and that she was back to her fantastic self once again. The truth was, she had never felt more miserable in her life. And as each day passed, her guilt grew and blossomed into a darkness that now consumed her soul. The two ladies unlocked from their embrace and just stared at each other, wiping their tears away. Deb did not know where to begin. For 41 years, she wondered what this would be like finally seeing her child face to face. She was beautiful. "Hesitant," Deborah whispered. "I was scared." Her daughter replied, "I know, you don't have to." But Deb kept talking. "I was so afraid of what people would think. I was afraid of losing my job and everything I had worked for. But after it happened, I gave it all up. I couldn't handle what I had done, so I left Washington and went back to Virginia. I moved back in with my mother. Deb took a deep breath, collecting her thoughts. Up until that point, I had never thought about anything other than my career and who I wanted to be. Suddenly, my life was in a tailspin. I tried everything to get away from what I was feeling, but nothing helped. Our neighbor could see through my facade into my troubled spirit. She came to me one day and said she didn't know what was wrong, but that Jesus could help me. I didn't give her a second thought until she said there was a way to be forgiven. I didn't know anything about heaven or hell, but I knew I needed forgiveness. Deb finally added, "I thought about you every day." Deb could tell from looking at her daughter's face that she was not concerned with the past. She didn't need an explanation. She didn't want reasons why or how it had happened. She was just happy to see her mother. She would be spending eternity with her mom. "I don't even know your name," Deb blurted out, which got a chuckle out of her daughter. My first moments here, I was in his presence. He took me by my hand, looked into my eyes, and said, "Your name will be Joyful." And he sent me here. That's why I was waiting under the tree. He said that your time had been fulfilled, and I was to welcome you and bring you into his courts to worship him. Deb had never felt so alive. In her lifetime, she had experienced forgiveness, but it wasn't until now that the nagging thoughts of regret lifted off of her. It was like she had been given a new lens to see things through. She had fought the good fight and finished running her race. Now she was going to spend forever with her daughter, worshiping her Creator. The end. The truth is, all babies who have been aborted go to heaven. I pray that those who are listening who have had an abortion can be reassured by that fact that they can be reunited with their child. And this can be so only if they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you have experienced an abortion and you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, I would love to talk with you about how to do that. Please feel free to contact me through my website, SharonHawkins.net, through the contact tab. Thank you, Vince, for sharing such a beautiful story. And thank you for joining us today, Sandra. I just want to remind everyone that no matter what we go through, we can always find God's grace in our wilderness. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.